Amen. We're at Proverbs chapter 6. The verse I want to look at is verse 16, where the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." And the title of the sermon this morning is "A Lying Tongue." A lying tongue. And what I'm going to preach about is something that God hates. Now, in the United States of America, and really throughout the whole world, most people don't think that lying is that big of a deal. In fact, some people even invented something today that's been around for a long time. It's called a white lie, where they'll actually say, in some state cases, not only is lying not bad, it's actually good. It can actually be considered noble or justified. Now, first I want to start off with this, and if we look at 1 John chapter 2, what is a lie? Because God hates a lying tongue, we need to understand what a lie is and what truth is before we can determine, you know, whether this is right or this is wrong, this is a lie, whether this is truth. But what is a lie? Well, a lie is a statement or an idea or a concept that is not in 100% agreement with facts or reality. So the truth has 100% agreement with fact or reality. So, for an example, the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ said, "Sanctify by truth, thy word is truth." You know, every word that God speaks is true, because everything that God says is 100% in agreement with facts and reality, all right? So a lie is something that's not 100% agreement. Now, I'll say this. In order for something to be true, it has to be in 100% agreement. 90% is not to cut it. And what are you talking about? Because some people have this idea that, well, you know, I didn't lie. I said a half-truth. And this is your glasses half full kind of guy, where he's trying to like make it like seem like what he did wasn't that bad. He's trying to look in the positive aspect. Well, I know half of what I said was a lie, but I also said half true, see? Right? You know, so it's kind of true. But here's the thing. It's impossible to extract any lie from the truth. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." So right here, the Bible says that no lie is of the truth, which means you can't take a statement somebody says and extract something from it and it be a lie. Now, obviously, you can take something that they said, you can twist it, you can make it say something that he's not. You can change the truth into a lie, but the truth in and of itself is truth. I'll give you an example. Let's say one day someone asked me, "Hey, where'd you go today?" And that day, you know, I drove to Target, Walmart, and Whataburger, right? And I say, "Where'd you go today?" And I said, "I went to Whataburger." That's true. That's someplace I went, all right? And if I said I went to Walmart and Whataburger, that would be true too. These are things that are in agreement with reality. But what about this? What if someone says, "Well, you went to Whataburger, but is that the only place you went?" And if I said, "Yeah," that's a lie right there. Because what I said wasn't true, right? What I said was not 100% in agreement with reality. That was a lie. Now, this is a very simple example. You know, you have the devil in the Garden of Eden. When he lied to Eve, what did he say? "Ye shall not surely die, for in the day that ye eat the fruit thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, when the devil told Eve, "Ye shall know good and evil," that element was true. But the false part was when he told her, "Ye shall be as gods." And therefore, the entire statement that he said was a lie. And obviously, there are cases, there may be instances where you don't want to just tell like every, you know, let's say someone says, "Hey, what'd you do today? How are you going? How are you doing?" Right? And you say, "Well, you know, I got in a fight with my mother-in-law and she threw a mug at me." Let's say that really happened. And then, you know, her husband tried to shoot me with a shotgun. You had all these bad things happen to you, and my son did this and my daughter did that. That may be true. But obviously, there's some cases where you shouldn't just give every fact. You know, sometimes people may ask you what happened, and you know, you just say, "Hey, that's none of your business," right? And obviously, there, you know, the Bible says, "Love covereth a multitude of sin," right? We're supposed to speak the truth in love, right? And here's the thing: if you're just airing people's dirty laundry, people that wronged you, people that have done things that you don't like, if you just like tell everybody about it, well, that's not speaking the truth in love, right? Because you should have an ability yourself to be able to cover things that people have done, because you don't want everyone to know everyone's dirty laundry, all right? That's something that, hey, it might be true, but again, are you using discretion? The answer is no, okay? That's not being discreet, all right? And obviously, you know, wicked people, sometimes they'll purposely conceal facts, they'll conceal information because they're devious and they're trying to make people, themselves appear better than they really are, or they're trying to hide something they've done. I'll get into that, but I'm just trying to help you understand what truth is, all right? Truth is something that is 100% agreeance with reality, all right? Something that is false, something that is a lie, is it not in 100% agreeance, right? So here's the question then. If you would look at Leviticus 19, is lying acceptable? Is there ever a case or is there ever a situation where it's okay to say something that is not true? Well, the answer to that is no. Lying is never acceptable. You'll never find a single place in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation where God actually gives an exception to where he says, or excuse to say, okay, it's okay to lie in that circumstance. You'll never find it. Now, I'll read you some verses. I'll read you Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. So the Bible says we shall not lie one to another. So I'll read you Psalms 119, verse 29. I'm going to be going through a lot of verses really quickly here. Psalms 119, verse 29, the Bible says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. 163 of chapter 119 of Psalms. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Now David, he's saying that he hates lying, but he loves the law of God. You see that contrast right here? You can't have someone just love the word of God and also love lies, or love to lie, or love to have people lie to them. These two things are incompatible. You either have to love one and hate the other, you have to love one, love the other. You can't love both. Right? You can't love lies and truth. You can't love the word of God and love lies. You have to pick which one. You can't have both. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5. The Bible says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Go to John chapter 8. So the Bible says, not only does a righteous man not lie, it says the righteous man hates lying. That's just taking a step above, which means not only is it wicked to lie, but it's wicked to even be okay with lying, okay? We're supposed to hate lying. We're supposed to have nothing to do with it. But a wicked man's loathsome comes to shame, because obviously wicked people don't care about lies. It's not that big of a deal. It's water off a duck's back to them. If they hear lies, or they hear someone lie to them, or lie to someone else, they don't really care about it, okay? John 8, verse 44, the Bible says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So right here, the Bible likens the devil to somebody who has no truth in him, right? No truth whatsoever. He's the father of lies. He's always lying left and right. In contrast, the Bible says about God in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So God cannot lie, and there's no truth in the devil. You see, so if the devil's the father of lies, then is it ever okay to lie? The answer is no, it's not. There's no situation whatsoever. And I'll read to you this famous verse, Revelation 21:8. This is a verse that we use to show people, because most people in the world don't think lying is a big deal. And most people, they lie about everything. And so one verse will show people, to show people that they deserve hell, is Revelation 21:8, where the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is second death. And so the Bible says in Revelation 21:8 that every single person out there that's ever told a lie, it doesn't matter how big or how small it is, they deserve to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, most people think, oh, lying's not that big of a deal. And if you ask most people out there today, do you think you deserve hell? Most people would say no, right? Now, praise the Lord that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he'll wash your sins away. Our sins are washed in the blood of Lamb. But that doesn't change the fact that the Bible, God took this time to say all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire, because it's a big deal. It's a sin. It's not something God wants to do. And if you would turn to Genesis chapter 37, unfortunately, most people, they even people that read the Bible every year, they read the Bible a lot, they go to church three times a week, they can read these crystal clear verses, and they'll still say that they think that their situation is special, and that you don't understand my situation, Jesse. I'm going through a lot of different things right now. I need to lie. It's okay. My situation, me and God have understanding, right? They'll say, hey, God understands that you're a liar. God understands that you don't hate lying. God understands that you're not right with them. But in this sermon, if you get one point out of this sermon, this is one point I want to get. That's this, all right? Is that lying is never excusable, okay? It's never okay to lie. And I look at Genesis chapter 37, verses 11. The Bible says in verse 11 of Genesis 37, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. And his brethren, this is referring to Joseph's brethren. If you remember, Joseph was one of Israel's children. He was one that was well-favored in his sight. His father gave him a coat of many colors. Joseph's brethren, they envied him because he was dad's favorite child, all right? And he told this story about how he had a dream about how his brethren bowed down to his sheaves, and his brethren were very angry about it, and they hated him for his sayings. But the Bible says his father observed the saying, all right? Verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale to Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, saying, behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went out for his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So what's Joseph doing right here? Joseph's trying to obey his father's will, his father's wish. He's going out in the field. He's trying to find his brethren. He doesn't know where they are. Right now, if you understand the way his brethren are, they're very lazy people. They're slacking off. They don't want to work. And so, you know, his dad's trying to figure out where they're at, right? And so he sends his son Joseph, because he's very faithful. He always does things that are right in his father's eyes. And as soon as they see him, the Bible says they conspired against him to slay him. So basically, they actually talked among themselves. They wanted to kill their brother, all right? It says in verse 19, and he said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. So what are they doing right here? Well, they're conspiring to slay their brother Joseph. But it's not only that, because they understand that if they kill their brother, even though they're the only ones that are around it, that their father, the next question their father's going to ask when they get home is, hey, where's your brother at, right? And they realize that they need that their father is going to be very suspicious about them, because he just sent them to find his brethren, but now Joseph's gone, all right? And what are they doing? They're conspiring to murder. But not only they conspiring to murder, they're also conspiring to lie about how Joseph died, all right? How they were planning to kill him. Now, if you keep reading the story, you understand that they don't end up actually going through this plan. Reuben ends up saving him. Reuben ends up and they end up selling him into slavery, and they pretended like he died though. They still pretended like Joseph died, but they end up selling him to slavery. And God worked the whole situation for good. But here's the thing about the story though. The thing is, they were conspiring to lie about, okay? So what were they doing? They were covering their sins. They were covering their sin with a lie. They were going to do something bad, and then they're going to cover that sin by lying about it, by saying something else happened. And this is something that's basic human nature. This is something kids do at a very young age, right? You know, you'll see your kid in his hand caught in the cookie jar, and you say, what are you doing? Nothing, right? They lie. Or you'll see all the cookies gone, all the cookies are eaten up, and you see he has cookie dough all around his mouth. He's got chocolate chip cookies, his mouth's full of cookies. And what are you doing? Nothing. What is that? They're covering their sin with a lie. Or you know, you'll have someone who's in elementary school, right? And the teacher asked the question, you know, hey, where's your homework? He's like, I don't know, my dog ate it. Right? That's a lie right there. And it's pretty silly, right? But again, you know, kids are very bad at lying. Right, kids are very simple when it comes to doing evil. So, we laugh at these things. We think, oh, it's funny. But look, it's still a lie. And this is something that they do. And why? Because they're trying to cover their sin. It's basic human nature. But when they grow older, eventually, you know, adults become more devious and cunning with their lies. Right? What do? They try to come up with these elaborate fake stories, like this one right here, saying, oh, well, some evil beast. They try to make it more believable. Right? Hey, some animal devoured our brother. We're sorry this happened, right? Or you see people do this. You know, And when it comes to people who are in church or people they're around God's people, they understand that lying's wrong. So what they try to do is they'll try to like say something when they're confronted about something to where it doesn't quite sound like they're lying. What are you talking about? You'll confront them and say, hey, did you say this? And they'll say this. Well, I didn't use those exact words, right? What they're saying is that, well, yeah, you know, hey, did you call her a whore? Like, no, I didn't use those exact words. And what happens? He called her a harlot. Look, whore and harlot mean the exact same thing, okay? That's the exact same thing. And so if someone asks you, hey, did you say this? Look, even if you say, well, I didn't use those exact words, that's not the spirit of the matter. The spirit of the matter is, did you say that thing? Did you make what you said, did it mean this, all right? That's one way that people lie. They say, I didn't use the exact words. I remember Tyler Baker when he was getting busted for being a heretic. And we saw in this video where he was crying in front of Pastor Anderson. And one thing he said is that he was like, well, I didn't use those exact words. And I think it turned out he did use the exact words. But why do people say stuff like that? Well, they say stuff like that because they're trying really hard not to lie. Because everyone has this little blocker inside of them that makes it really hard, really uncomfortable for them to lie. And so they'll say something like that. Or other times, they'll word things in such a way to where it doesn't sound like they're lying. Okay, so if later what they said turns out to be false, you won't figure out what they said is wrong. Like, here's a question. Like, here's an example. You say, hey, did you do this? Did you hit my car? Or, you know, did your son hit my son? Or something like that. And they'll say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, right? I don't know what you're saying. What are you talking about, right? They'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. Or, I don't remember. And here's the thing. If you say you don't know what they're talking about, when you, in 100% fact, do know what they're talking about, it's a lie, okay? Because, again, what's a lie? A lie is something that's not completely true, okay? So if you say something and it's not 100% true, that's a lie, all right? Hello? That's what a lie is. Or let's say, I don't remember. Again, unless you had a memory dump, unless you have Alzheimer's or some problem with memory, or unless you're doing illicit drugs, that is not a valid excuse. Because if you remember something, you say, I don't remember it. Or look, that's a lie, okay? That's something that's not 100% true. Now, here's the thing. If somebody comes to you and it's none of their business, like let's say they come to you and they say, hey, you know, I heard your mother-in-law didn't get along too well, huh? Look, that's none of their business, okay? So you could say, hey, that's not your business. I don't want to talk about that, right? Okay, obviously, no kidding. It's none of their business, right? Or they say, hey, I heard, you know, whatever, you and this person got a fight. And look, you're being a busybody if you're asking questions like that, okay? And yeah, it may really happen, but is it really any of your business? The answer to that is no, okay? But what about this? Hey, did you key my car? Oh, that's not your business. Hey, did you drive your car into my garage and you hit the garage door? Oh, that's not your business. Yeah, well, I see paint. I see my garage paint on your car. Oh, that's nothing. Hey, what are you talking about? I don't have to talk to you. It's none of your business. Look, that if you fault somebody, or did you call my wife or XYZ, or did you say this XYZ about me? Listen, at that point, you have to actually say, you need to confess your faults. You know, the Bible actually says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And if you actually wrong somebody, and you know you wrong somebody, and they come to you and you say, that's none of your business, right? Well, and it actually is their business. Well, look, then you're in the wrong right there. And that in itself is a lie. You're saying something that's not true. Because biblically speaking, it is their business. Or, you know, someone going around teaching false doctrine, teaching lies and heresy, and you want to cover them up because you love them a little bit too much. Listen, that's something that needs to be exposed, that needs to be addressed, okay? All right? Because the Bible says we are to mark them which cause division, offenses contrary to what we have heard, all right? It says that in Romans chapter 16. And you're not supposed to cover up when people are teaching false teachings, okay? Because, again, that is something that's the church's business, right? Because it's the pastor's job to root out people like that or to correct them so that they will get it right. And here's the thing. Obviously, when it comes to a lot of liars, again, you know, the Bible says be sure your sin will find you out. Because you may be very devious. You may be a liar today. You may be very skilled at lying, okay? And you can lie to the church, you can lie to the pastor, you can lie to the people here at church, you can lie to your wife, your husband, you can lie to your kids, but guess what? You can't lie to God. And one day, hey, the Bible says be sure your sin will find you out. And if you have this habit of covering up your sins with lying, guess what? Eventually that will get exposed. You know, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy, all right? So again, covering your sins by lying, by saying things that are wrong. Look, that's a bad road to go on. Now, obviously, here's the thing. You know, look, this is not the Catholic Church, okay? You know, the Bible says that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so we don't confess our sins one to each other. That has nothing to do with it, right? You know, what unless it's a specific sin that you committed against somebody, right? Everyone hear what I'm saying? Okay, you know, if they have nothing to do with it, then the only person you need to confess that sin to is God. But you still need to get it right, okay? Now, here's another example I thought about. You know, sometimes people will cover their sin of hatred by lying. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." So again, there's some people out there that they hide their hatred with lying, right? And here's the thing about hatred. You know, obviously, if you understand, you study the scriptures, the Bible does say there's a time to love and a time to hate. There are some people, the Bible says, it's actually a sin to love, right? You know, the Bible says, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them to hate the Lord? But, you know, when people understand this, that you're not supposed to hate your brother and sister in Christ, right? That 100% of the time is always sinful. But what do people do? They hide their hatred with lying lips, right? So they have a hatred against someone or some person, their brother or sister in Christ, and what do? They hide it with lying. And again, they're hiding it because, again, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to get it right and confess their sin to God. So what do? But they also don't want to say it because if they say it, then people are going to realize what a bad person they are, and then they'll have to get it right anyway, right? So what do? They hide it. And two ways they do this. One way, they flatter. What's flattery? Flattery is insincere praise, where they say something good about someone when they really hate them on the inside, right? That is something that is insincere, yeah. You know, like, oh, yeah, that was a great sermon, right? Or, oh, yeah, what that person said was awesome. Or, hey, they made this great cake, or whatever the case may be. If it's insincere, look, that's flattery right there. That is not something that's right, and or whatever the case. Or they slander. And what I mean by that is they bring up a false witness or allegation against someone. Why? Because they don't like them. But again, they have to say something about somebody because they can't just let them go along with their life. Why is that? Because, again, they want to tear them down. You know, I thought of this one example. You know, they'll say this. He just says things he doesn't believe. Like this Seth Bookout guy, this flat earther that got kicked out of Seth Vast Baptist Church. This guy, he said about Pastor Shelley and Pastor Anderson, they said, oh, they just say things they don't believe. What's he doing right there? He's hiding his hatred with lying lips. That's what he's doing. Because obviously, if you say, well, I just hate him because he's a man of God that's doing a lot for the Lord, and he makes me look like a complete fool and a clown because I believe that the earth is literally flat. Obviously, he doesn't want to say that. So what does he do? He hides it with a slander. He says, well, I just think they're just saying things they don't believe in, right? Whatever the case may be. You know, I don't hate him. I just want everyone to know he's not King James only, right? That's hiding your hatred with lying lips. Okay, that's what it's doing right there. And look, you should be happy when someone's doing better than you. And this is something that John the Baptist had. When people were coming to John the Baptist saying, hey, look at Jesus. Look, hey, the same that those people that you're baptizing, everyone's going to him. You know what he said? He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. What did he say? He said, I don't care. I don't care. If people leave my church or people go somewhere else and they do great things for God, he had this attitude that says, I don't care because at the end of the day, I'm doing things for Christ. And if people are following Christ as a result of what I'm doing, or people are doing better than me, the Bible says you're supposed to rejoice with them that rejoice. You're not supposed to slander them. And imagine if you went to a wedding. Because it gives this example in John 3:29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth them, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You know, imagine if you went to a wedding, right? And you saw your friend get married. Imagine how weird it would be if there was someone there that was supposed to be the friend of the bridegroom. You know, it's supposed to be a time of rejoicing and everyone's really happy. And you just started finding someone there that started slandering him, started talking bad about them. You know, they see, you know, he's just whispering the guy next to him, saying, yeah, I don't like this guy. You know, he does the X, Y, and Z. And he starts talking all manner of bad and evil against them. Wouldn't that be kind of weird? And it'd be kind of weird for you to say you're their friend, but then you're talking bad about them, you're slandering. That would be kind of strange and kind of weird. And again, John the Baptist, he understood that. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And here's a second reason. And if you would go to Acts chapter 5, can I get a cup of water? The first reason why people lie is they do it to cover their sin. Again, so they're doing something wrong, or they have some unrighteous hatred, and they cover it with lying. But the second reason is to look better in the sight of other people. The second reason why we see people lying is because they want to glorify themselves. They want to make themselves appear more impressive than they really are. And it may not be that these people may not be in sin in the sense that they're not doing anything wrong, but they're trying to like bolster their resume a little bit or make themselves appear, just appear a little more, praiseworthy, so to speak. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things." So what's going on in the story right here? Well, you have these two people at this church named Ananias and Sapphira. Now, at this time, the apostles were doing great things for God, and people's lives were getting turned upside down for the cause of Christ. You see the chapter before where people are taking great lands that they have. They're selling it, and they're taking the total price of it. They're taking the money that it costs, and they're laying it at the apostles' feet. They're basically selling all their possessions. Like Jesus Christ said to that one rich ruler, "Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And they're taking up the cross, and they're following Jesus Christ. And that's what's going on right here. But these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, they sell something, but what they do right here is they keep back part of the price. And the price means part of the money, all right? And here's the thing. It wasn't the sin that they committed right here, it wasn't the fact that they kept back part of the money, okay? In the sense that they could have kept back part of the price. But the problem they had right here was that they lied. Because the Bible never says you have to give more than the tithe, all right? The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. And he said right here in verse 4, "while it remained." Now, what's it? "For it is the land. Was it not thine own? And after it was the land, was sold. Was it not in thine own power?" So they could have just taken that whole land. They could have taken all that money, and they could have kept it for themselves, and they would have been 100% right with God. That wasn't the problem right here. I have some people say, well, the problem with Ananias and Sapphira is that they were covetous, and they didn't want to just give it all to Christ. That wasn't the problem there. Okay, now obviously they may have been covetous people. My guess is they probably were, you know, based off they see the crazy action they do here. But you can't get that from this verse right here. All right, that's your own personal opinion. What we do know for sure is they could have gave a tenth, it would have been fine. They could have given 100, it would be fine. They could have given none except for like they'd have to give the profit, right? Because the Bible says you're supposed to tithe of your increase. But everything beyond that was in their own power to keep. Okay, and they did not have to give any more than that because it was their own. You know, when it comes to giving, you know, some people teach that if you don't give 11% of your increase, you're not right with God. Well, that's not true. And the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. And what's the tithe? A tithe is the tenth. Anything more than that is supposed to be something that's done out of the goodness of your heart. But here's the thing, though. In this case right here, and Ananias and Sapphira, they're wrong, and the reason why they're wrong, the reason why Ananias and Sapphira both drop dead in the story is because they lied. It's because they said that they gave the whole price of the land. They gave all the money of it, that the land that they sold, and they're just giving the apostles. What's going on there? They're saying, oh, we just want to give this to you. We sold this entire land because we want to be a blessing to the church, and we love the church so much, and yada, yada, yada. What are they doing? They lied. Now, we don't know exactly what they said, but we do know this. They said they gave the entire price, and really they gave part. Now, again, if they said that here's part of the price, that would have been okay. Or better yet, you know what? If they said, hey, here's some money you want to give the church, that would have been acceptable. They didn't have to say how much the land costed. They could have just said, here's some money. Or even better, they could have just gave the money. You know, the Bible says when you do your alms, you're not supposed to do them before men. When you do thine alms, it says, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret may reward thee openly, right? But again, they want to get the praise right here. They want to get the accolades that all these apostles are getting. They're just doing it for the praise of man. And that's the real problem, right, that these people have right here, is that they want to be glorified. They want to be praised. They want to be lifted up. You know, they think that they want to make themselves appear more impressive in the sight of man. And so what are they doing? They're saying, hey, the land costed this much. We sold everything and gave the entire price. And really, they only gave the part of the price. Again, And notice how these people right here, Ananias and Sapphira, they end up complete losers. Notice, in this life, they lost everything, right? Because as soon as they came to Peter, Ananias dropped dead, and then Sapphira, later in the story, she's dropped dead as well. And here's the thing about your possessions. You know, the Bible says, we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Everything that you have in this life, your possession, your lands, your house, your cars, your boats, or all the gold and silver you have, your 401k, you know, the Bible says that you brought nothing in this world, and you can carry nothing out. And they carry nothing that they had in this world. But not only that, this great offering that they gave, they didn't get any reward for that. Because why? Because they were doing it to be seen of men. I mean, imagine that. I mean, if you're going to give that, if you're going to sell an entire piece of property, wouldn't you leave and give it to the church? Wouldn't you want to get reward for that? I would think, if you're just going to give that much, I mean, it's such an impressive, land nowadays is very expensive. And with this whole coronavirus thing, people moving to Texas, faster and faster every day from California and all these different liberal states, the housing market's going up now, okay? So land is even more expensive now. But even back then, land was an expensive thing. It was something that cost a lot of money. But if you're going to do all that, wouldn't you want to get a reward for that? I mean, what a complete waste. Yeah, you lost all your treasures in this life, but not only that, you didn't get rewarded. I mean, that right there. I mean, that's got to hurt right there. But again, what are they doing? They're doing it for the praise of man. They're doing it because they want to be glorified. They want to be honored. And again, people do this, and not just in church. People do this when it comes to giving. You know, they do to be seen a man. Sometimes people lie about certain things. Maybe they'll go out soul winning, and they get one person saved, and they say they got 10, right? Again, it's a stupid thing to lie about because God knows how many people got saved. Why would you just say, well, we got 20 people saved, you got one? I mean, it's stupid. Again, you're doing it to be seen a man. You're doing, or, you know, people brag about how much they pray. Again, you know, again, why would they do that? Well, again, to be seen a man, trying to glorify themselves, right? Or how about this? You know, I when I was in the Marine Corps, I seen a lot of veterans. They would brag about their achievements, their accomplishments, and the reason why is because people who were in the military service, we have this weird idea in our minds that everyone who goes in the military, especially if it was in like infantry or army or Marine Corps, that they've been through a lot of different battles, they've seen a lot of impressive stuff. And they've gone through a lot of firefights. And so people have this idea that every veteran who goes in the service is like that, right? And so what do veterans do? They feel inadequate because of this. So what do? They make up war stories, right? They say, well, yeah, I was in like 20 firefights, right? Or they say, I got like 100 confirmed kills. Something stupid, crazy like that, right? What are they doing? They're doing to be praised, to be seen a man. You know, and like, or you know, you have Gen Rat. They lie about their max bench press, right? They say they can bench 350 when really they can only bench 250. Why are they doing that? Why would you do? Why not just say what you can actually do? Okay, you shouldn't be bragging about yourself. Period. You know, the Bible says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth; a stranger, and not thine own lips." So the problem is you're bragging about yourself. Okay, that's the problem number one. Two is that you're lying about it, and that's the problem that Ananias and Sapphira. They had to brag about how much money they gave, but not only that, they had to lie about it. So they're boasting and lying, and then people do the same thing. Or they lie about all crazy fights they've been in. They say, yeah, one time I was in a fight with 20 people, and I one of my arms broke, and I just beat them all up with one arm and stuff, and it was just so amazing, and I didn't get hit one time. Yeah, no, you didn't. Like, that never happened. Look, you did that in a dream, okay? You did that in a video game, but that never really happened because that is completely unrealistic. Again, people, they lie about stuff. You know, I've heard someone lie about stupid things. Like this one guy, he had this scar, and he told me that he like knocked out a window, and you know, his truck rolled over and it was on fire, and he barely escaped with his life. But then when someone actually asked him, someone that was an authority asked him, he said, "Oh yeah, it was a cyst." Right? Now listen, that's a stupid thing. Again, people lie about all sorts of stupid reasons. I've heard people lie about crazy things, but again, why are they doing it? They're doing it for the praise of man. They're doing it because they want to just make people know how tough they are and how great they are and about how much they give and about how much they help other people out. Again, it's for pride. Also, if we turn Proverbs chapter 1:21, you know, sometimes people lie about themselves to get more money. Okay? Again, you know, one example you have is people lie about on their resume. You have people out there, they'll say, hey, they have 20 years experience in the oil field, and like they're 20 years old. Like there's just no way that's possible, okay? Or they'll say crazy things on their resume. They'll say they have 3 different college degrees and like they're 30 years old. They'll have 3 different master's degrees. Look, that's not possible, okay? Unless you grew up in an ivory tower your whole life, look, that's not even possible. Again, people lie about that. There's one example I knew, this one guy, and I'm going to move on to a different point, but Nowadays, I don't really care about this, but I remember when I first got out of the service, I used to get really offended about people who would lie about their military achievement. It's something that really bothered me, really angered me. And in fact, it actually is a crime now. If you lie about your military service, that actually is something that can actually land you jail time. But even at that time, it really offended me because I'm thinking, these people are bragging about something that they're not. And there's one guy in particular, he was actually a good family friend for a time, and he said that he was in like 3 different Vietnam tours. And I knew this guy growing up. He worked as a firefighter. He just did like normal service jobs. But I knew his age. You know, for him to be in Vietnam, he had to be like 15 years old when the war ended. There was just no way that was possible. And I remember one time my brother, younger brother Mark, walked up to him because he just kind of just asked him just nonchalantly, "How old are you?" And he basically he gained 10 years of age overnight. He said he was 70 when really he was no more than 60. And again, and we were all really offended about that because he lied about himself. And looking back on it, I mean, obviously lying's a sin, but I wouldn't really get mad about people lying about their military achievements. But here's the thing, though. You know, if people find out that you lied about something like that, they will get offended. And they may never look at you the same way ever again, all right? And this one guy in particular, I mean, it was a stupid thing from lying about. I mean, I already had respect for him. When I already knew about this guy, I already knew that the kind of stuff he did. I knew he was an honest guy. He was he's a hard worker. I already thought very well of him, but then again, he had to lie about himself to make himself appear a little bit more credible in the sight of other people. And it was stupid. It was pointless. Why even bother doing that? Again, but some people right out there, they'll lie about themselves or lie about something to get more money. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6, the getting of treasures by lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. You know, people, again, they'll get treasures by lying tongue, right? You know, and there's different ways people will do this, right? Well, some people, they'll lie to get the dream job, right? You know, they'll have a job that they really want, they really covet, they really desire, but it's outside of their reach because they're not qualified for it. But what do they do then? They lie about themselves. Again, they bolster their resume. They make up things that never really happen. Or what do other people do? They lie in their timesheet. Listen, if you lie in your timesheet, if you say you worked X amount of hours, when you really didn't work that amount of time, look, that's lying, okay? Or again, you know, people, they'll make a mistake on their job, right? And again, this kind of falls into the category of people covering their sins, but they say, they try to like to twist what actually happened. Again, why? Because they're lying. Or here's another example. You know, sometimes people lie how much will something cost to do something or how much an item is worth, right? Proverbs 12, verse 22, the Bible says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And you need to make sure, if you're selling an item, if you're selling a service, you need to make sure that the things you're actually selling, you're actually being honest about it, okay? And again, and what I mean by that, you don't, if you have an item that's 20 years old, don't say it's 10 years old, okay? If you have a service and it's going to cost you, if it's going to cost you $1,000 to do, don't say it's going to cost $20,000 to do, because that's lying. That's getting them treasures by a lying tongue. That's not dealing truly right there, okay? Again, you know, you have Facebook markets. You know, nowadays you have everyone selling everything, right? They got Facebook markets. They have Craigslist. You know, they have like, yeah, people selling houses and stuff like that. Again, make sure you're honest when you sell something. Make sure you're not dealing falsely, okay? Because again, the Bible says it's a vanity tossed to and fro that seek death. What's that saying right there? It's saying that if you're doing that, you're seeking death because God's not going to be pleased with you when he finds out that you're lying about how much something is worth. Okay? Or if you're lying about how much it's going to cost to do something, it's lying. It's not right. Joshua chapter 2. And the third reason, this is probably the most controversial, but you know, it's crystal clear. I mean, if you read the Bible, it shouldn't be controversial. But this is something that people made up in their minds. And the third reason people lie is because they lack faith in God, right? So the first reasons we can understand, right? If you really expound, you know, the right reasons to lie. People, they lie to cover their sin. Number two, they lie because they want to make themselves appear more glorious in the sight of man. But the third reason why people lie is because they lack faith in God. And what I mean by that, they're going through some persecution, some hardship, not based off anything wrong they've done. You know, they could be living for God. They could be living godly in Christ Jesus. But again, they're faced with a situation, and instead of doing what's right, whether it be telling the truth or whether it be praying to the Lord for deliverance out of that trouble, what do? They lie. And we see this example done in Joshua chapter 2 with Rahab the harlot. Now, if you would, look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. The Bible says in verse 1, And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the children of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the city. So what's going on right here? Rahab the harlot, she took these men that came from the children of Israel. She hid them. The king of Jericho found out, so he sent his men to go to the house to find these men. Because, again, you know, these people, they're spies. They're coming to search out the country. And it says in verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Now, the word wot means I don't know. Like, I know not. That's what she's saying. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And so what she does is she just tells the man, the men that came to her house, look, I don't know where these guys are. I don't know where they went. I think they went this way. You go run as fast as you can. You'll be able to overtake them. But here's the thing. What she said was not true. Because if you keep reading, it's crystal clear that she knew exactly who these men were. And obviously she knew where they were because she hid them. Okay, but she knew exactly where they were from. It says in verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered, our life or yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, ye may go your way. So what's going on in the story right here? Well, obviously, we can tell based off of everything that Rahab said. I mean, Rahab knew about who these men were for a very long time. I mean, she was up on point with the news of what the children of Israel were doing. I mean, she heard that they went through the Red Sea. She heard that they killed Sihon, all king of the Amorites, and that they're having all these victories. And so Rahab knew exactly who these people were. And right here, she's asking these men that they will preserve her, okay? And they say, well, our lives for yours, if you're not this business, if you don't tell anybody about what we're doing, hey, then we'll spare you. And we understand how the story goes. Later, she puts a string into the window, this red string, to show that she is Rahab, and the men were instructed not to destroy that house when they saw that string. Again, so what we see right here is Rahab, she lied. Okay, she lied to the men that came to her house. Now, here's the thing. Some people, they'll look at a story like this, because if you understand the story of Rahab, things do turn well for her. I mean, she ends up being a part of the nation of Israel, and she ends up getting preserved. But some people, they'll look at stories like this, they'll say, well, if Rahab lied, if Rahab told something that's false and good came out of it, or good result is because of it, then therefore it's okay to lie to protect, you know, to somebody, or to lie to protect yourself. Okay, here's the thing. Obviously, it was right for her to protect the spies. That was right. But here's the part that was wrong. And if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the part that she did wrong was when she lied, okay? Because here's the thing. If you read through the Bible, you notice something. The Bible says over and over again that lying is a sin. Lying is wrong. Lying is a wicked. We're supposed to hate lying. The Bible says God hates a lying tongue. But all of a sudden, it's okay to lie now? Oh, because something good happened. Okay, well, if it's okay to lie to make something good happen, then I guess it's okay to murder to make something good happen, right? I mean, hey, it's just a white lie. Okay, how about this? It's just a white murder. You know, if someone's a bad person, is it okay just to murder them? Or is it okay to murder someone to make... No, it's not okay. Or how about this? You know, I'm just trying to steal to provide for my family. I know it's wrong to take welfare checks because the Bible says if anyone not work, neither should he eat. I know that's wrong to be a mooch on our system of government, but I need to provide for my family. And I cannot dig to beg of my shame. So what do? They take money from the government. They lie. Again, it's not right. Or even worse, they steal money from other people. That's still wrong. Even if you're doing it for a good cause, shall we then do evil that good may come? The Bible says whose damnation is just. It's never right to lie. It's never right to steal. It's never right to murder. Now, obviously, here's the thing about that. Hindsight's 20/20. And when you're in that situation, sometimes it may be hard to tell do what's right. But here, and obviously, God was not expecting her to divulge where the spies were. But here's the thing about this. The Bible says there's no temptation taken to you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So it doesn't matter what situation you're going through. It doesn't matter what temptation. God is always making you a way to escape. Okay? Another thing I thought about too, you have Abraham. Abraham, he lied about his wife. Excuse me, not Abraham. It was actually, I believe it. Abraham basically, he deceived. You could have said it was like the truth because it was his sister. He was being deceptive. But one thing we know for sure is Isaac definitely for sure did lie. Okay? But God protected them. Okay, so if God protects you or God doesn't destroy you immediately when you do something bad, that makes it okay? Okay, I mean, if we take that doctrine stream, I guess as long as God doesn't strike you dead right when you commit a sin, then I guess it's okay then. No, it's not. No, it's not. And in fact, there's nowhere in the Bible that ever exonerates or ever justifies Rahab for what she did. Now, if you're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So the Bible says that when Rahab received the spies with peace, when she received these men and she hid them, that she did that by faith, okay? Turn, if you would, to James chapter 2, verse 25. James 2:25 is just a few pages to the right of your Bible. James 2:25, we see the similar situation. Likewise, also, was not Abraham the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Now, right here it says that Rahab the harlot was justified when she sent them out another way, when she received the spies of peace. But it's funny, the Bible never says she was justified by works or by faith when she lied about them. Okay? It never says that. It doesn't say, by faith, Rahab the harlot lied about the spies. It doesn't. It's not there. What is this? This is something called a lapse of faith, okay? When Rahab the harlot received the spies, it was by faith. When Rahab the harlot sent him out another way, that was by faith. In between that time, when the king's men came to her, that was not by faith, okay? The Bible never exonerates her. It never says okay. It never says acceptable. And here's the thing. You know, the Bible teaches that we should have prudence. Okay, obviously, it would be very prudent for her not to disclose their location. The Bible teaches that a prudent man concealeth knowledge. And obviously, she shouldn't just give their location. But the thing is, that doesn't mean it's okay to lie, though. Okay? Look, lying is always sinful. It's always wrong. You'll never find anywhere in the Bible, even in situations like this, where it says that. I mean, think about this. Some people say, well, the Bible never condemns her. Well, yes, it does condemn her. It condemns her in Proverbs chapter 6. It condemns her in Revelation 21:8. The Bible condemns her through John chapter 8. The Bible condemns her all throughout the book of Proverbs. It condemns her in Psalms 119. What? Just because God doesn't just specifically say that what she did is wrong, that doesn't mean that what she did is automatically right. I mean, think about the Bible. In the Bible, you have men taking multiple wives. You have Abraham, he takes multiple wives. David takes multiple wives. And notice the Bible doesn't, in most of the cases, doesn't specifically condemn them for what they did. In the sense that when David takes two wives, it doesn't say the thing that David did displeased the Lord, okay? Why? Because it's just automatically assumed that polygamy is wrong, okay? And God doesn't have to just, in every verse where someone sins or they do something wrong, when it records them doing something, to actually condemn them on the spot, because it's just automatically assumed that lying's wrong. It's automatically assumed that having multiple wives is wrong. The Bible says they twain shall be one flesh, okay? So you can't just take stories like this and make your own weird doctrine about how it's okay to lie now. And people do this today. People do this when they come to, like, they're in some situation, there's some trial, where they'll actually say that in certain situations, it's okay to lie. Okay? What example? Let's talk about vaccinations, okay? You know, obviously, we live in a very wicked and oppressive government, and there are places in this country, even, where if the wrong people find out that you don't use vaccinations, that you will receive persecution from the government, from CPS. And look, that's wrong. That's wicked what they're doing. But again, if someone asks you, hey, do you vaccinate? If you say, hey, I'm going to do it later. Look, that's, if you're not going to do it later, that's a lie. Or how about this? Or I already have my vaccination. Look, if you didn't really do it, then that's not true. That's not true. That's a lie. What you're doing, you're lying. And look, you may get away with it. You may not get away with it. But it doesn't change the fact that what you're doing is wrong. It doesn't change the fact that the Bible specifically condemns lying. Or how about this one? You know, there's this meme going around, right? And it says, I lost all my guns in a boating accident, right? Because people, they're really worried about Joe Biden. They're really worried about how they think he's going to take all our guns away, because all these Democrats, they always talk a big game about how they're going to take everyone's guns when they get elected, okay? You know, you got that one guy that ran against Ted Cruz. He said, hell yeah, we're going to take your guns, right? So people are really scared right now, right? And I saw this meme going out that said, hey, all my guns got lost in a boating accident. Who here has seen that meme before? Raise your hand, all right? You know, God bless you. I see the hand. Now raise your hand if you liked it. I'm just kidding. Don't do that, okay? All right. Don't confess your sins to God alone, okay? Don't tell me if you like that, all right? Here's the thing. That's a lie, okay? Because if you're hiding your weapons and the government comes and asks you where they are, if you say, well, they all got lost in the boating accident, and look, if you don't own a boat, I highly doubt they believe you. But let's say they do believe you. Look, that's still wrong. And let me just tell you about this, too. When it comes to lying to law enforcement, you can actually be charged with, if they find out that you're lying about something, you can be charged with obstruction of justice. Right? And what does that mean? If you try to stop an investigation by lying, they can actually charge you and prosecute you for that. So not only will you be in the condemnation side of God, you'll be in the condemnation side of man as well. Okay? Look, it's not right. Now, I'm not saying you have to tell them. I'm not saying you just have to tell them, hey, here's the location, here's the address, here's my geocache location, I have the X number here. Why? You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to do all that, okay? Obviously, you have the right to remain silent, or you can change the subject, or you can pray for God so that you won't be at the house the time they come over, okay? But here's the thing, though. Lying about it is not acceptable, okay? Because it's never been acceptable, and it never will be acceptable. The Bible says about heaven, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, even heaven, look, you're not going to see people making these weird memes about this stuff and liking it and talk about lying about their guns. Why? Because heaven is a perfect place. No lies is allowed in heaven. Now, obviously, we understand when we go to heaven, we're going to have a perfect, incredible body, but that doesn't change the fact that it's still wrong, okay, and that we're not supposed to lie even if it's to do something's right. Or here's another example, right? Lying to cops out soul winning. Okay, we won't be back, okay? Now, if you say you won't be back, you better not be back then, because if you say I'm not coming back and you do come back, or hey, we're leaving right now, look, that's a lie, okay? You know, now look, you have the right to remain silent, okay? Jesus Christ, when he was questioned by Herod, he didn't say anything to him. You can keep your mouth shut. There, in fact, even in our Constitution, you actually have the right against self-incrimination, all right? So I'm not saying you have to just divulge every information. And here's the thing, you know, we see Jesus Christ do this. He keeps his right to silence. He doesn't say anything. But, and also you can just change the subject or just, again, the best thing to do is pray. Because the Bible teaches that we're supposed to pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. If you see that you're about to be in a bad situation, you should be constantly praying for deliverance from that, for help. Why? So you don't end up stumbling and sinning and end up falling in the condemnation of the side of God, okay? Again, lying's never acceptable, it never has been acceptable, it never will be acceptable. And so, what's the conclusion here? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25 is we need to be men of truth, and we need to be women of truth today. And when it comes to telling the truth and not lying, this is one of the most basic doctrines inside the entire Bible. I mean, the Bible calls the Word of God the Word of Truth. It says, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. And if we're going to be walking in the Spirit, we need to be speaking truth. We need to not be telling lies. Ephesians 4, verse 25. I'll look at verse 23. The Bible says, and be renewed. Excuse me, verse 22. It says in verse 20. I'll read verse 21. I'm sorry about that. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. There you have your lust deceiving you, your lusts are lying to you. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So again, you have the truth right there, the true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. So again, what's the title of the sermon? A lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. Lying is never acceptable. And we see that with this verse we're about to close with, is that if you want to put on the new man, if you want to say, hey, Jesse, I want to walk in the Spirit today. I want to be filled with psalms and hymns, spiritual song. I want to do great things in the power of God. I want to win a lot of souls to Christ, Jesse. I want to do great things for God. What do I got to do? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to put away lying. That's the first thing that he mentioned. The very first thing he mentioned when it comes to putting on the new man, stop lying. Stop saying things that are true. Stop making up stories. Stop passing false information. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Hey, if you're going to say something, now again, you don't have to say something, but if you are going to say something, it better be true, all right? So let's pray. Father, I thank it's time to preach the word of God, and thank you for getting all these people here so they can listen to the word of God. And I pray, Lord, help us to be people of truth today. Help us to put away lying and speak every man the truth with our neighbors, Lord. And help us to realize that lying never has been acceptable and never will be acceptable, that there's no excuse and there never will be excuse, God, and that this is something you command us to do, Lord. And if we ever catch ourselves lying, Lord, that we'll confess that sin to you and we'll put it away far from us, God. And we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your Bible. We thank you for the fact that every word written in this book is 100% true without error, Lord. And help us to apply these precepts inside our lives, Lord, so that we can put on that true holiness you listed in your word, Lord. And we praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.